I'm excited to get to share with you guys today. I know in this room today, there's folks in the room today that they've used recently, or they've done something that they're ashamed of here recently, and they've got this burden on them, this feeling of not being worthy, or this feeling of I'm bad and I deserve bad things. So that's one group of people in the room today. We've got other folks in the room today that maybe everything looks good on the outside, but the truth is you're so spread out. There's so many thorns in your life from being spread out and busy and chasing after stuff that is choking the goodness. And like maybe other people don't see it, but you know that you're not as loving or patient or kind or gentle, or you don't have the self-control that you used to have, that you're going backwards instead of forwards. And whether you're in that spot of feeling like you deserve bad stuff because you don't deserve anything good, or whether you're in this spot of, if you really pause long enough, you realize like you're not headed in a good direction. Today, we're going to experience something with Jesus. I know the way out of both of those paths. I know the first step for you to take, and we're going to get to take a step today, okay? I want to jump ahead two slides to this little viewfinder with the ocean. We're going to read a passage of scripture, and I'm not going to exactly preach it. Instead, I'm going to get you ready to have an experience with Jesus yourself. And if you've ever been in like a real pretty spot, sometimes they'll put these little things up with like a, hey, if you put in enough quarters, you can see through this, right? Basically, we're going to read a big passage of scripture, and it's going to be, you're not going to be able to take it all in, right? It's like looking at a mountain range or the ocean, like you really can't grasp it all in just one little take. But before we read it, I'm going to give you like, here's some things that maybe you want to zoom in on. And you can choose to zoom in on them, okay? So stuff we're going to see in this passage, we're going to see Jesus who's already gotten flogged, who's already like all the flesh, like the skin and a lot of the muscle from his back has been ripped off. But he's about to get sent carrying a cross and then get nailed to a cross. He's going to go through more physical pain. I mean, some people have got some crazy stories in this room, but nobody's experienced the type of physical pain that Jesus is going through and what we've talked about. Like, you don't live through the type of physical pain that we're going to talk about today. And some of you just need to see that. Some of you haven't seen somebody else suffer more than you've suffered. And that, it's hard to go through life if you feel like you're the most hurt one ever. But if you can see somebody else cared enough to go through even more pain than you've gone through, like that's, somebody needs to zoom in on that today. Somebody else you could zoom in on, Jesus is going to be good to his biological mom. There's a lot happening. He's literally solving the problem of the world, like in this moment, and he's worried about who's going to take care of his mom also. And some of you just haven't gotten into the practical pieces of being good to your own family. And you just need to see that, like, no matter how much is going on in your life, if nobody's taking care of your mom and she is in need of help, like, the Christ-like thing is pretty clear. And maybe it's not your mom, maybe it's a disabled nephew, or I don't know who it is, right? But some of you just need to zoom in on, it's never too much in your life to do the right thing to somebody that you're supposed to, right? Something else I'm going to point out that I think John saw about Jesus that maybe nobody else highlights as much in the other Gospels is we're going to see this guy Nicodemus doesn't get mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, and he's going to finally have courage to stand up publicly for Jesus, and it feels like it's too late. Like Nicodemus finally stands up after Jesus is dead. And if you've lived long enough, you've probably had somebody you care about die, and you regret that you didn't do more while they were alive. That's how Nicodemus, I'm pretty sure, is feeling at the point in the story today. But here's the interesting thing about the book of John. John chapter 9, Jesus heals this blind man. The blind man suffers for Jesus. Jesus stops what he's doing and goes and finds the guy. Like, Jesus pays attention to that guy sticking his neck out for him. And here, John describes himself as this very intimately close to Jesus friend. And he's the only one that takes the time to tell us about Nicodemus. And I think like Jesus really appreciates what Nicodemus does and how Nicodemus grows. And even when Nicodemus is probably beating himself up of like, I didn't do enough. I messed up everything. I'm too old, or I missed the real opportunity. Jesus is paying attention to Nicodemus' story and appreciating it. And some of you need to see that, like, even though you think you've wasted too much of your life, Jesus will still appreciate what you do in this stage of your life. Okay, so there's some highlights. The Holy Spirit could show you something else. Sometimes it's better just to look at the sunset than spin the quarters, right? But I wanted to point out some stuff you can zoom in on. Here's where we're trying to get to. If we go back to that first slide, we're trying to get to is this question. This is where you tell Jesus how much you love him. There's a story in my family. My mom is this amazing lady, but when she was a second grader, her mom, my grandmother, was beside her as my mom was taking the Lord's Supper, similar to what we're going to do today. She was taking the Lord's Supper for the very first time. And my mom, as a little second grader, was confused. At one point in their service, they were kneeling down, and my mom didn't really know what to do. And my grandma told my mom, psst, this is where you tell Jesus how much you love him. Like, that was the advice. And my mom, who's now a grandma herself, like, is able to relate this story, like, still remembers being the second grader and that was the advice during the Lord's Supper. And we've done the Lord's Supper. If you've been here this month, this is the fourth time we're doing it in a row. But today, we're going to have a moment where we say, and it's going to be personal, you get to do it on your own, but where you tell Jesus how much you love him. And if you're needing some inspiration, like, be looking for it as we're reading here about in John about his death, okay? Last thing we're going to do before we read, we're going to kind of put our boots on, is this next slide here with three things. And I'm going to lead you through a little exercise. If you read the Bible and it's not very powerful ever, like, you're doing it wrong. I'm just going to tell you, like, something's messed up, right? Like, just like if you're lifting weights and you don't get any stronger, like, you're doing something wrong eventually, you know, right? So I'm not saying every day, but if you read the Bible and it never does anything for you, like, try it a different way. Here's a simple thing before you read to maybe help. It's rooted in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, if you want to fact check me, but this, I'm just going to take you through it. We're going to drop whatever the biggest thing we're worried about, we're going to drop it at Jesus' feet and be like, would you please take care of that? So we're going to drop it down. We're going to realize what it is. We're going to say, like, Jesus, I'm going to stop worrying about this as best I can. We're going to ask for Jesus to take care of that problem, but also to come and teach us, to come and be with us. And then we're going to raise up our hands and we're going to say something true, something that we believe about Jesus. And if you don't believe very much about Jesus, it's more important that it's true than that it's flowery, right? So if you're like, it needs to be something true. So the best thing you can say about Jesus is true, right? We're going to give some sort of thanksgiving, right? It might be a thank you for somebody in your life or something like that, right? But we're gonna drop a worry, we're gonna ask for Jesus' help, and we're gonna raise up our hands to give a thank you. And then kind of our symbols are gonna be like dropping something, like our hands out, like not holding on. Then we're gonna be asking for help, like putting a hand out. And then we're gonna raise the roof, I guess, like we're like in the 90s or something, but like we're gonna raise up like a gratitude, right? So we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna read. And again, this is not rocket science. You can do this on your own anytime. But it's this idea of clearing your heart and making room for Jesus, right? And there's something about giving up a worry, asking for help, and having some sort of gratitude. Like, it's powerful. And if you haven't been doing it before you read the Bible, like, try it and then see how the Bible winds up being different in your life. The Holy Spirit's able to move more, right? So let's do it. Okay, think in your mind. You probably got a lot of worries, but you get to pick one, right? It could be about your shoes, or it could be about the person you're going to marry, right? I mean, like, big or small, right? But what's the thing in your mind right now that you most are worried about or concerned about and you want Jesus' help on? So everybody think of that. And I've got something in my mind too. I'm doing this with you. Okay, now we're gonna all put our hands out if you're up for it, like we're dropping it. And we're gonna say, Jesus, I put this at your feet. Now, none of us are perfect, but we're gonna try while we're reading the Bible to leave that concern there, right? Like Jesus can take care of the person that was on my heart. He can take care of your needs for shoes or whatever the thing might have been, right? You can leave it with him right now. But honestly, like I have a hard time letting stuff go, so we're gonna go ahead and ask God to solve that problem, whatever it is, and to meet with us, right? So now we're gonna put our hands out, asking for help. Jesus, please help the person or concern we just gave you. Please take care of it. Please bring healing or provision or whatever's needed. And Jesus, please come and meet with me. Amen. Okay, last thing we're gonna do is you need to find something that you are thankful to God, the Father, or Jesus, the Son, something genuinely grateful. It might be, thank you, I'm alive today. Thank you, I can see. Thank you for making a beautiful sunset. Thank you for giving me parents. It might be hard for some of us to come up with something to be grateful for, but it works if you work it type of thing. Come up with something you're grateful for, right? So put your hand up, and then you're gonna simply say, God, thank you, and then picture that thing. Amen. So again, very simple, but it's kind of like we're putting our hiking boots on, right? And now we're ready to walk into the scripture. Okay, so John chapter 19, it's a big chunk of scripture for us today. And we're going to start the second half of verse 16. It might be labeled the crucifixion of Jesus in your Bible. John chapter 19, the second half of verse 16 says, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There, the soldiers crucified Jesus and with Jesus two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. I'm going to pause this for just a minute here. Science behind that is when you're under just an insane amount of stress, you can get a bunch of fluid buildup around your heart, and like literally your heart can explode or like pop type of a situation, and you would wind up with water and blood like filling your chest cavity. It's like Jesus is under so much physical stress, this really bizarre thing happens to him. That's where that's coming from. But it was a strange thing is why this explains it in verse 35. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. There's so much we could talk on, but when Jesus says, "It is finished," I thought, how do we sum that up? Jesus is saying, like, I have accomplished what God sent me to accomplish. And this is a simple idea, but this is one, if you've been in church, it might sound simple, but this is this really in your heart? And this is John 3:16. You may have heard it before. It's perhaps the most famous verse in the whole Bible. But when Jesus says, it is finished, if I had to sum it up very quickly, this is what he's talking about. So the question for us is like, do we truly have this in our heart? For God so loved the world that God gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. Like that's the thing that Jesus finished. He showed us God the Father's love. He opened the way for us to have a relationship with him and God the Father forever. Last week, Anna was very brave right here. She got up and said, like, I need that relationship with Jesus. Mike downstairs gave another appeal today to everybody downstairs. Like, anybody need to get started with Jesus? So Mike, throw up your hand. Mike's right there. Here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus yet, if you're like, I've not prayed what Anna prayed last week, like I've not really gotten started in this God thing, I want you to go talk to Mike right now. We're gonna do Lord's Supper, but like Mike is right there in the gray. I want you to go talk to him and pray with him because you don't have to wait to get connected with Jesus. If you're in the balcony, whatever's going on, you can go talk to Mike and do that because we're gonna be passing out the Lord's Supper in just a minute. And here's what the Lord's Supper means. Everybody's invited to it. Everybody's invited to what Jesus did on the cross, and that's what we're remembering. But the way that you're ready for it is when you say, God, I need your help. I've made mistakes. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. Not all the excuses about my parents or about the government or whoever. I've done something wrong and I'm sorry. And Jesus, I trust you more than I trust myself. I wanna do my life your way. If you're in that spot, then you're ready to live forever with Jesus. Like he'll take you the rest of the way as long as you can hold on to that. Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus, I'll do it your way. And we just keep doing that over and over and over. So Mike is there if you want to talk to him. I'm going to ask the serve team to come down and talk to us. But if we could flip to the very last slide there, I've got a painting that Judy Rippey. And she painted this about Jesus on the cross. I don't know for you today what you would paint if I handed out like art supplies to everybody. But I want you to think through like what is most important to me about what we just read. Like what stirs up my love for Jesus? And for Judy, like this is what she painted as a memory to Jesus, right? And then if we could go back to that question my grandma gave to my mom when she was a second grader. You know, this do about loving Jesus. Like, this is where you tell Jesus why you, how you love him. If we can do that, Nick. Things like white on green. Maybe. There we go. So as we do Lord's Supper, I'm going to give us a pause right before we take the bread and we take the juice, because I want us to all have that conversation today. What's fresh in your heart about why do you love Jesus? So if you don't have an answer to this yet, like, now is the time to be thinking about it. Sorry, we're getting stuff going today. Thank you guys that are all helping us. Really appreciate you. And let me lead us in prayer, and then the serve team will pass these out. Jesus, I thank you that you did all the heroic work. None of us here in this church today that we can see, none of us are the heroes. You're the hero, Jesus. We all need your help. I thank you for bringing Anna to new life. And God, help us all to live out your new life together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.